thank you again, church, for allowing our family to be here. Thank you, Pastor, for inviting us and having us. Sure enjoyed it already. Been a blessing to get to know many of you. And always appreciate the little connections to Japan. Without fail, just about every church we go to, there's at least somebody who's been there or has family that's lived there, something like that. And it truly shows, you know, even though it's a familiar country, how great the need is for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So many people who've never heard, but how will they hear if nobody goes to tell them? All right. Well, thank you so much. We've sure enjoyed it. Looking forward to being here tonight as well. But for this morning, we're going to be in the book of Ruth. Book of Ruth, chapter number 1 here this morning will be our text. Book of Ruth, chapter number 1. Always enjoy preaching the book of Ruth, even though it's a bit of a short book. There's still so much truth to be gleaned from it. It's one of the first books I preached through as the youth pastor there at Faith. I finished preaching through the book of Judges, and it just lended itself to go right into Ruth after that. Have sure enjoyed preaching it on the road as a missionary now as well. Book of Ruth, chapter number 1, we'll begin reading there in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. The name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left and her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. And she rose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she'd heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go! Return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you've dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. And then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Well, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I'm too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. They lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. She said, Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. I'd like to take the time this morning as we look at this text, this family, but really we could say a choice. Choice that this young lady made that changed not just her life, but the lives of her family, what would be her children, her grandchildren, great-grandchildren, generations to come will be impacted by this choice that she made personally, not just of somebody else made her do it or prompted her to do it. No, this was a personal decision in her life to make God her God, to make God her God. And just as much as that decision changed her life, if we'll make that choice today, it can change ours as well. Lord, thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you for the good fellowship. Lord, the great singing that's already taking place. Lord, sure enjoyed it. But Lord, pray now that you would bless the preaching. Lord, bless the classes may be taking place throughout the rest of the building as well. Lord, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know Christ as Savior, Lord, I pray that today would be the day for them. Lord, we love you. Thank you for all you do for us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And I appreciate the book of Ruth and the little bit of homework that it does for you as it tells you right from verse number one when it takes place, and that's during the time of the judges, which if you're familiar at all with the book of Judges, you know it's not really the happiest, most enjoyable book, the most enjoyable part of Israel's history, really quite the opposite. A very dark, very tragic, difficult time to watch the spiraling out of control that the people of God really go through as they were doing so well in that Joshua generation, the conquering of the Canaan land, the faithfulness of God's people. But time and time again, similar to what we even saw in Sunday school, when people do what they want to do, that every man did that which is right in his own eyes. They pushed aside what God wanted them to do, didn't care what God wanted them to do. They only really cared what they wanted to do, and it's left them in a very wicked and sad condition. And while Ruth takes place during that time, it really is a bit of an oasis in this desert of sin and selfishness and pride. Ruth, it's this beautiful short story of this little family that really endeavors, in spite of the culture, the circumstances that surround them, to do what God wants them to do. Starts out with this man and his wife, Elimelech and Naomi, and they live there in Bethlehem, Judah, but the things aren't going well. There's a famine in the land, there's no food, and in Elimelech's mind, he's thinking, if there's no food here, well, then there's no future here. And rather than staying where God would have had it and trust in the Lord, again, this is the time of the judges, he does what he wants is best for his family and moves them to Moab. And Moab, again, during this time, this is not a safe place for God's people, not a good place whatsoever. There's the famous story early in Judges of King Eglon and Ehud. If you know Pastor Stewart, he loves preaching that message because he says, when Lefty stabbed Hefty. That's always his sermon title. He's a lot better at sermon titles than I am. But that King Hefty there, that's king of the Moabites. That's where Elimelech has moved his family to be with. And it doesn't take long before tragedy finds his small family as Elimelech dies, leaving behind his wife, her two boys. Time passes, life goes on, the sons grow, and they get married to two of the women there of Moab, Orpah and Ruth. But all these years later, tragedy once again finds his family as now both of the sons die as well. And now this wife, this mother, Naomi, I mean, you can just imagine the heartbreak to lose her husband, to lose her boys. This land where they had come looking for hope, they're now left with far less than what they arrived with. It's not an easy decision for any of them to make, but Naomi hears through the grapevine that the Lord, he's brought food once again back to Bethlehem, Judah, and rather than staying in this land of heartbreak and despair, she decides, well, I guess I'll just go home. Go back to Bethlehem, Judah. Go back to those people. And they begin a journey back to Bethlehem, Judah. The daughters come with her for a time. And you can almost just imagine them journeying together for a while. And then they get to this point where Naomi tells them, you know what? There's no point in coming with me. Why would you come with me? There's no future with me. I came here looking for a future, and we saw how that went. Well, there's no future for you either coming back with me. Just go back home. Go back to your families. Go back to your gods. I have no husbands for you. I'm not married anymore. I'm too old. There's no hope with me. We lack the time this morning to really get into the whole book of Ruth and everything that takes place. But needless to say, at this point, Naomi's not in a great place. She's bitter. She's hurt and angry at God. Blames him for all that has happened. It's not an easy decision for these ladies. We saw the hugs, the kisses, the tears among family here. While these two ladies are at a crossroads point in their life, in spite of the similarity of their circumstances, they both lost their husbands. They make two very different choices. Orpah does decide to go back to her family, go back to Moab, to the false gods of Moab. It says to her people and to her gods. Naomi's a little surprised that Ruth stays. She even says, well, your sister-in-law, she's gone back. She went back to Moab, back to her people. Just go with her. And then we get to verse 16. And verse 16 is so key, not even just in the book of Ruth, but and for the message this morning as well. It's so integral here to this whole story. Because verse 16 is where Ruth makes a choice. She says, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Naomi could see she had her mind made up. She was steadfastly minded. She wasn't going to change, wasn't going to budge. She had made her choice to make God her God and to put her faith and trust in Him. This is a big moment. Think about what this young lady is really doing here. She's at this crossroads point. She's going to Bethlehem, Judah. She's a Moabitish woman. She's not an Israelite. She's never lived there, never been there, doesn't know the culture, doesn't know the social expectations. She's putting behind her her family, her mom and dad, maybe siblings, everything she's ever known, the God she's been raised to believe in, her hometown, everything that's ever been important to her, she's putting behind her to go forward into the unknown, totally trusting God. It's not just routine, not just a surface level choice, not just Naomi forced it on her. No, it's not a secondhand faith. Ruth made a personal choice in her life to put her faith and trust in the Lord. And what a choice it is. Many people know Ruth far better as King David's great-grandma. That doesn't happen without this choice. That this young Moabitish woman would be put in the lineage of our Savior, Jesus Christ. What a contrast this is, that a woman of the wicked culture of the time of Judges is choosing to be faithful to the Lord far more than God's own people did in this time. This painful, difficult time in her life. How often during difficult times are we so quick to be angry at God and push Him aside, but Ruth, having just lost her husband, is trusting Him more. Putting her faith and trust in the Lord. God can sure do incredible things in some of the hardest of times. She's chosen now to make God her God. And really this choice is it, we truly will see it change her life. That's why I believe it's such an important truth, because just as much as this choice has changed her life, it can change each of our lives. Is God your God here this morning, folks? Do you know Him this morning? Has there been a time and place in your life where you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Not just, well, I've always rode the bus, or well, my grandma brought me to church, or well, I've just grown up here. No. Do you know Him this morning? Has there been that time and place in your life personally? Because if not, well, then today can be that day. I look at this life of Ruth in this passage, and the connections to Japan are numerous, and we'll talk more even in the message tonight. There are so many different things, but this choice that she's making, she's putting everything behind her, everything she's known, everything that she's ever believed in, to put her faith in the Lord. Some of the reason that it's so difficult there in Japan, I shared about the snow and the climate, the amount of people is staggering. But what's even more impressive at times is how much the idolatry, the Shinto, and the Buddhist traditions is just interwoven into every aspect of that culture. So often here we'd think, you know, I'm an American and I'm a Christian. That's not how they think there. To be a Japanese is to be Shinto and Buddhist. There's no separation. There's no difference. They'll teach those religious idolatries in their schools, not because they're pushing religion in school, that's just being Japanese. Just as much as we teach our kids George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, that's just part of being an American, right? It's the same for them. They strive in every aspect to look the same, to be the same, to fit in, to conform. As the saying goes, the nail that sticks up gets hammered down the hardest. So nobody wants to stand out. Nobody wants to be different. And I look at the life of Ruth, that like a Japanese person, she would need to choose God over her people, her country, her family, everything she's ever known, ever been raised to believe in, to live in, to put all that aside for the Lord. But what's incredible about this story, this passage, and can still absolutely be true in the life of a Japanese person, and even in our lives too. Because there's so many times I've met folks around this country, even in Kansas or whatever state, that just like Ruth or just like someone in Hokkaido, they've had to sacrifice some things for the Lord. To put aside their own family, to put aside maybe the religion they grew up in and were raised in. But man, he's worth it this morning. He's worthy. He's worthy. And I'm sure thankful that as we'll get into chapter 2 here in the life of Ruth, that as she is faithful to him, she's made this choice, that God doesn't just abandon her. No, that as she's faithful to him, he's faithful to her every step of the way. Every step of the way. And don't be nervous, it's a short book, but we're going to try and preach most of it this morning here in chapter 2, verse number 1. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, well, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her half was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. They answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came, hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. We'll stop there for a moment, but what's so incredible here is we've seen Ruth make her choice in verse number 16 to make God her God. But now as we get into the end of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2, we begin to see how that choice, now we see God being faithful to her and taking care of her every step of the way. Even at the end of chapter 1, they arrive back in Bethlehem after their journey during the time of harvest. That may not seem like that significant in detail, but in this culture, if you were poor or a widow woman, didn't have a husband to go to work, to provide for you, to care for you in that way, the edges of the fields were left available for those individuals to be able to go and to get enough. Not a whole lot, but it was enough. You wouldn't go hungry. So if it had been any other time, wasn't a harvest time, these ladies may have struggled to even get something as simple as a meal. And that isn't a coincidence here. That's not an accident. That's a God who is sovereign, who's intimately aware of exactly where these young ladies are at. She's going to be fed. Ruth, not knowing the culture, not knowing the rules or the condition of Bethlehem, Judah this time, she just trusts the Lord. She knows that she's supposed to care for Naomi. She doesn't know whose field she's going into, who owns it, but she's going to go work. Because that's what God wants her to do, to take care of her mother-in-law. She says, let me go to the field, glean ears of corn after him, and whose sight I shall find grace. She said, all right, go get us some food. And it just so happens that of all the fields she could have gone to, she just so happens to land in a field belonging to Boaz. To Boaz. And of all the fields that Boaz may have owned, being a mighty man of wealth as he was, he probably didn't just have one field. All the things he may have had, he just so happens to end up in that same field on the same day. And I love, again, short book, don't have time for the whole thing today, but such details of Boaz, even in just his conversation with the reapers there working for him, you know, he greets them with respect, with care. What a character contrast to the vast majority of men during this time period. What an encouragement it is as well that just as the climate around us is saying one thing, we can still do what's right. We can still hold true to the Word of God. We can still care for other people. It's not the message this morning, but it does connect a little bit there. Regardless, Boaz, he greets these men and they begin speaking with one another, but he notices there's a new girl at work today. And he asks them, well, who is that? They tell him, well, that's the Moabitish woman. They tell him her story. She came back with Naomi and she's here working to take care of her. And man, she's a hard worker. She's been here from this morning, even until now, and she hasn't even taken a break. They say she's tarried a little in the house. She hasn't come in and taking a break a whole bunch. No, she's out there working hard. Boaz notices this. He hears her testimony. He hears of her character. He goes and speaks with her. And even in the conversation that these two will have, it's incredible to see how God uses Boaz to continue to provide for Ruth. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, verse number 8, he says, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here, fast, by my means. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them, and have I not charged thee, young men, that they shall not touch thee? When thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, drink of that which the young men have drawn." And she fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, "Why? Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. Lord, recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee, the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." We could almost roll out a checklist this morning. She needed food. God provided food to be fed. As Boaz begins to speak to her, he says, "Ruth, I don't want you to go into any other fields." He knew the character of men in this time period, how they would have treated any single lady working alone, nonetheless a foreign woman in Israel. He says, "Ruth, you're safe here. You can work with my other young ladies. I've told my young men they won't touch you. They won't bother you. You're safe here. Ruth, if you get thirsty, you even need something so simple as a drink of water. Don't even take the time to go and draw up water out of the well for yourself. No, my young men have already drawn up water. Just drink that. A drink of water." Time and time and time again, God's providing for her. And she does not understand it. So he's telling her all these things and speaking to her. She falls on her face in disbelief. "Why? Why have I found grace in thine eyes that you would notice me? I'm a stranger. I'm a Moabitish woman. I'm not an Israelite. I don't know you. I'm just trying to take care of my mother-in-law." He says, "I know. It's been showed me all that you've done. For Naomi, since the death of your husband, you've left behind your father, your mother, the land where you grew up, to come here to a people you didn't know. But you've trusted the Lord. The Lord recompense thy work, a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." We'll stop reading there, but Ruth just keeps getting better the longer you go. Before their conversation's over, he tells her, "Hey, we're going to have a meal time tonight after work. You know, you could, if you want, if you eat, you can come to dinner with us, and maybe you can, I don't know, like sit by me at dinner." He tells his young men, "Hey, guys, I need you to do something. When you're done, you know, you're getting, gleaning the corn, the wheat, barley, whatever it is, and putting it into baskets, can you just like dump everything you picked up onto the ground so Ruth has more to pick up? Why would we do it? Don't worry about it. Just do it. Just do it." I told you, it just keeps getting better. And it's very sweet. But really, it's just incredible to see how God works. Again, this would be her husband. What a legacy that's here. Obed, Jesse, David. It's a detail that I don't typically share in just this portion of the book of Ruth, but no children in those 10 years that she was married. May not seem like a big deal, but isn't it incredible how the Lord blesses her with Boaz, the family that comes from that? And folks, none of this would have happened if she hadn't ever made that decision on that crossroads to make God her God. And as she's put her faith and trust in Him, He's sure been faithful to her every step of the way. Whatever it was, food, protection, water, family, a legacy, He's taken care of her every step of the way. What if you hadn't leave behind everything? your family and friends, your home, your city? Is God your God this morning? To leave behind our pride that keeps us from witnessing? Maybe you do have a family member this morning, a friend that isn't saved. Pastor mentioned being so close to Thanksgiving. I always think of Thanksgiving time, such a unique time. For many of us, we see family, maybe we don't see a whole lot the rest of the year. Maybe you have that family member that's like, are you still going to that church? Yup. We're like, well, I've invited them, I've talked to them, they know I'm a Christian. They're never. Hang on. Don't give up on them. Well, it's just a guy at the store, it's just a guy at the gas station, whatever it may be. Ruth left behind everything to trust the Lord. Yet it's so often we struggle just to leave behind what's in here. I think about my own family and how, you know, I've answered questions about Japan this morning. I know a lot, studied a lot, I've worked hard to study a lot, but I sure don't know everything. And truly what we've seen, what we've experienced is just the tip of the iceberg. I think of what's kind of a silly story now, but it was really emblematic of just how impossible it really did feel. We went there and we needed to get some groceries from the grocery store, and their stores are very compartmentalized. Don't get Walmart in Japan. If you want groceries, you go to the grocery store. It's old-fashioned in that way. But we went to the grocery store, and I already, you know, can barely read anything in Japan. Those toddler words back there from my daughter's book, that's a little advanced for me right now. I'm not even to, like, toddler level yet. But we did our best to read what we could, identify what we could. And we had Google Translate that I trusted for about 5 minutes, and then it let me down. I scanned what I thought was a carton of milk, because sometimes, you know, coffee creamer or yogurt. I want yogurt on my cereal. I don't even have cereal, but nevertheless, it said bones. So I no longer trusted Google Translate and slowly backed away from the scary bone liquid or whatever that was. Maybe I should have used it more. We got what we thought was just regular potato chips, just Lay's potato chips, and they were chicken noodle soup flavored, which wasn't bad. It's weird. It was real weird to eat a chip and it tasted like Campbell's chicken noodle soup. It was very strange. But anyway, we got our chicken noodle soup, bone liquid, whatever else we had with us and ready to go. But we went up to the cash register to pay for our groceries, and I ran into my new problem. I didn't have a bag. And Japan is like Aldi rules. You have to bring your own bag. I didn't know that. I'm like, well, okay, you know, we'll just ask the guy, can I have a bag, sir? Except I can't speak Japanese. And he doesn't speak English. And all those sign language classes I took in college are not going to help me in Japan. I tried, and to no avail. No bag from the gentleman at the cash register. Lizzie did her best to stuff our groceries in our school backpack we had with us, but I did manage to get a small little plastic bag from a different counter, a different lady that had pity upon my poor, sad self there. But something so simple. Can I have a bag, please? And that moment to me was totally impossible. I didn't know the language. I didn't know the culture. I didn't even know I needed a bag. It hit me, Lord, if I can't even ask for a grocery bag, how am I ever going to share the gospel with these people? Because this is just the beginning. That's just getting your chicken noodle soup potato chips. How much more significant and difficult will it be to share the gospel? To get them to understand their need for a Savior. To get them to recognize that they need to push behind all the Shintoism and Buddhism that they've been living in and trained to believe is truth from the time they are born until they die for generations past. Can feel impossible. But I've seen from the life of Ruth how when she had just lost her husband, was willing to put behind everything in her life to trust the Lord. And the Lord sure didn't let her down. He provided for every single one of her needs, and then some. And he can do the same for a couple going to Japan. And he can do the same for a couple just going back to work tomorrow. that maybe just got some news from the doctor that's not good news. It's dealing with a wayward son or daughter, a mom or dad who isn't saved. Whatever the case in your life may be, you know, I've just met many of you folks. I don't know what you're going through. But you do. He does. And just as he was faithful to Ruth, he'll be faithful to each and every one of us. Is God your God this morning? Lord, come before you. Sure thankful, God, for the life of Ruth. Lord, the impact it's had on me and my family, Lord. God, I pray for these folks this morning. I truly don't know many of them. So many I've just met today for the first time. But Lord, you know each of them very, very well. Lord, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know Christ as Savior, Lord, I pray that today would be the day for them. Lord, perhaps through this missions emphasis time, Lord, you called some to missions or to ministry, Lord, or even to give more, to pray more in it. They may not understand or may not think the finances are there, but Lord, you are the God who can do impossible things. Lord, even at times how hard it can be to just invite someone to church, even someone we know. Lord, help us this morning. Because, Lord, we've seen from the life of Ruth how the choice to be faithful to you, to be all in. Lord, how you're faithful every step of the way. Lord, help us to be faithful. Lord, thank you. Pray that you bless this time now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.